Okay, let's go. Today we're just going to probably race through the psukim. We'll go through very quickly the psukim, Rashi and the Targum, and then tomorrow, Bali Neder, we'll come back and discuss some ideas. But let's just run through, cover some ground. Maybe we'll even finish. Who knows? Okay, we're up to Perik. Test Pasukov. Vayichtoiv Mordechai es hadvarim o'ilem. Mordechai, he wrote these words. Vayishlach sefarim l'kol ha'yudim asher b'chol medinos ha'melech ha'chashverosh ha'kroivim v'horichoykim. Mordechai, he wrote these words, and he sent sefarim to all of the Yehudim, asher, and all of the medinos, the provinces of the king, those that are close and those that are far. Now, what's interesting is that, again, we had this before, that the word chosen is for the Megillah is Sefarim. You would expect that Mordechai, he sent letters, because we know that the Gil is called an Igeres. It's called a Divrei Igeres Hazos. So you see, we see that it depends. Sometimes the Megillah is called Sfarim, sometimes it's called an Igeres. But it says here that he did send these from. Yeah.
Word Igeres been introduced?
No, I believe not.
So
right. It's coming later on. It's called right. We're continuing. Later we're first going it's called Divrei Igeres Hazos. It's going to be introduced later on in the Megillah. Correct. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi says Vayichtov Mordechai Pasachov Hi HaMegillah Hazos Kemos Shehi. That's a Chiddush. Rashi, because if not for this Rashi, you would assume that Mordechai he just sent out Sfarim, telling people, you know, let me give you a detailed description of what exactly happened here, all the significance of the event. Because you have to assume the people out in the entire world did not know all of the details. Rashi here says an awesome chiddush that this pasuk Vayichtov Mordechai es hadvarim ha'ele, he wrote this Megillah. The hadvarim ha'ele, Mordechai was the author of Megillas Esther. Now, I didn't get a chance to go into detail, but I saw here briefly, very quickly before I came, that the Mishmas itself he mentions that there's a contradiction because the Gemara says that Megillas Esther, Beferish Gemara, was written by the Anshei Knesses Hagedoyla. So how do we reconcile what it says here in the pasuk that Mordechai wrote the Megillah with that with Chazal tell of the Anshei Knesses Hagedoyla? So it has
in
to.
In fact, Ibn Ezra has a one-word.
Yeah.
Response: Livado.
He wrote Livado alone, but the Gemara says that Megillah, the Sefer Gemara Masechta Megillah, was written by the Anshei Knesses Hagedoyla. So I didn't see that. This is a long. It's an arichos. It's an involved answer to understand how to reconcile the answer, but obviously there are two dinim. There are two different elements in the Megillah. There's an element in the Megillah that was written by Mordechai, and there's something that the Anshei Knesses Hagedoyla contributed, which Bali Neder will come back to in due time. Okay, we're not over yet. We still have another day or two to get to the Megillah. Bali Neder will come back to that. But let's just make some observations at this moment in time. Okay. Hakravim v'charchokim. Let's see over here what it says in the Targum pasuk chaf. Targum chsov Mordechai yos piskamaya hoilein. This piskamaya. No, it would seem that from the Targum is disagreeing with Rashi, because if Rashi is telling us hadavar mo'ela means this Megillah, this book, that's the word piskamaya is not the correct. Does not appear to be the correct translation, the correct approach as Rashi. Rashi is saying that Mordechai, he wrote the Megillah. Targum says Mordechai wrote the Piskamayo Hilein. Piskamayo Hilein is an expression which means a decree. He wrote a message, a law, an edict. It's not the expression that you would expect from the Targum to describe that Mordechai composed the Megillas Esther.
Wait a minute. Piskamaya goes on Hadvarim, not on the Sforim.
Rashi is also going on the Hadvarim. Vayichtov Mordechai hi haMegillah. Mordechai wrote. What did Mordechai write? What is the Dibur Hamaskil? The Dibur Hamaskil of Rashi es Hadvarim Ha'ele. These words. What are these words? Hi haMegillah. Hazos kimoshihi, the Megillah the way it is. The Targum doesn't have that flavor. Not necessarily the Targum is disagreeing with Rashi, but I would be willing to bet that if we look in the Rishonim, we'll find the Machlokes is exactly who wrote the Megillah. And Targum says Piskamaya Choilein. It would seem to be that it's not necessarily the Megillah itself, more leaning more to what it says in the Gemara that the Megillah was written by the Anshei Knesses Hagadoyla. Okay, then it says that he sent Sifarim Ushadar Pitkin. He sent Pitkin Levos called Yehuda in the Dibuchol Pilchei the Malka Achashverosh. Pitkin means he sent Sefarim, that's a word for books, to all of the Jews living in all the various provinces, the Malka Chashverosh, Dikrovin, U Vidir Chikin, that were near and far. Okay, it's interesting. Why we have to mention Krovim v'Har Chokim? It seems to be superfluous. It seemingly would be enough just to say that he sent letters to everyone in the Medinos. Okay, maybe we'll come back to that at some time. Next, Pasuk Chafalef Lekayim. What was the message of the Sfarim? Lekayim Alehem. They should fulfill upon themselves. Lehios Osim Eis Yom Arba'o Asar L'Chodesh Adar V'Eis Yom Chamisha Asar Bo B'Chol Shana V'Shana. That they should fulfill both days. Let's see what it says in Rashi. There is non targum pasuk of aleph lekayama to fulfill gezeras dina ila vehon the law the gezera of the halacha upon them limhevei of din yos yom arba asar leirch ador v'yos chamsha asar b'chol ba'bei b'chol shata v'shata. Now, what over here he's telling us a very important, powerful lesson is that even though originally. Okay, this, I think you have to understand what is Mordechai coming to add. This is, I'm telling you, is a drush, not necessarily the correct pshat, but it's a drush. What is Mordechai coming to add? They already did not know. We learned yesterday that the people that were living in Bishar, Medina Samelach, Osim. The word the oso oso. Remember that we had yesterday. It does not say the osu, but the oso. The people on their own instituted that for all generations they established this day to be a day of holiday. The people that lived in the Shar Medina Samelach, they established for all generations to come that the 14th day would be a Yom Tov. The people living in Shushan, the oso also established that for all future generations it would be a holiday. So what is Mordechai coming now to add that they already were not doing on their own? You want to say that Mordechai is coming to give it official, giving the rubber stamp, maybe, that people on their own decided that, you know, we're going to have a holiday. Maybe in Yados, if just because people, we had a whole discussion yesterday, the significance that the holiday came from the people. It came, did not come, was not a top-down decree. It was a holiday that came through observance by the people. So maybe you'll say that Mordechai was telling them, you know, it's a very good thing in Klal Yisrael that everyone on their own came to the realization that it's necessary for there to be a Yom Tov. But you have to understand there's a central body of law. There's a central authority. You just don't do things on your own. It has to be rubber stamped. It has to be officially decided by the Anshei Knesset Hagadol. So you can learn that. You can learn that. It's a very simple interpretation. The people on their own said, let's do this. But Mordechai is saying, okay, good, it's good, but listen, don't take the law into your own hands. You have to make it official. So Mordechai made it official. Okay, that's one mahalach. But on a deeper level, Mordechai was telling Klal Yisrael, you only were mesakein, and if you read the psukim very carefully, in the previous psukim, you only made takonis, that everyone will do on their own day. If you live in Chutz Li'aretz, you're going to celebrate with the boots. If you live in Chutz Li'aretz, you're going to celebrate. You're going to celebrate on the 14th day. If you live in Shushan or in Yerushalayim or one of the cities that was Mukav Chaim Mimos Yeshua Brin, you're going to celebrate on 15. The people that observe on 14 don't observe. Don't even care about 15. The people that observe on 15 have no shaychus to day 14. Each to his own. Everyone lives in their own little bubble. Right? Everyone makes Shabbos for themselves. Isn't that especially in Yiddish? And everyone is in their own little world. Mordechai said, it's a gewaldige thing that you've done. But I want everyone also to celebrate on the other person's holiday. If you live in Chutz Li'aretz, don't say Tachnun on Shushan Purim. If you live in Yerushalayim, don't say Tachnun on the 14th day of Adar. achdus. Because you have to remember the entire miracle came about lech kinos es kol ha-yehudim.
So that's why we all fast on Tainus.
The Tainus says the 13th. Everyone fasted on the 13th.
Right,
that was a day for everyone. Even in Shushan, they fasted on day 13 because that was the first day of Muhammad. In Shushan, it was on the second day of Muhammad, right? But the point of it, if you look carefully in the Psukim, what Mordechai over here is coming to add to enhance that was not yet in observance until this point in time was lekayim lios osim eis both yom arba asar lechodesh adar ve'eis yom chamish asaba b'chol shana v'shana. He's not telling everyone, okay, you do yours and you do yours. This was Mordechai's additional takana. I want here to be achdus. It's true the holiday is unique in that everyone's going to lay Megillah on a different day and everyone's going to do the mitzvahs mishloach manos on a different day. That's enoch anami true. That's not going to be taken away, but there still must be an awareness that today my brother is celebrating in Yerushalayim. There's Shushan Purim. People in Yerushalayim have to realize that on the 14th day you don't go to work. On the 14th day you're not going to lay in the Megillah, you're not going to do mishloach manos, but you have to celebrate, not 100%, but to a degree, as an acknowledgement, my brother is making a chasana, I have to come and dance by the chasana as well. And that is a very powerful...
We have a third shot is very good, by Alyssa, Megillus Sarmia. He holds that, you know, it's almost like Pesach at the Seder, but he says that, you know, you celebrate year after year, oh, it happened to them, it didn't happen to me. And he says here,
it happened today.
And the same thing by Pesach, by the Seder.
Chayv adam liros esasmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim.
Which is very...
Okay, it's very nice. So you're saying a very deep, deep idea. You're telling the people, he's refining, you're saying from the Megillah to some that he's refining the people's focus. What's a wonderful thing we learned in the previous sukkim that the oso, but the attitude was commemoration. It happened 1,000 years ago. We're going to commemorate it. President's Day, Veterans Day, Day of Independence. No, we live the experience. We live lihios osim. Beautiful idea. Every single year, you should look at the miracle, look at teva, look at the hashkocha protis, and acknowledge that Purim is happening every single day. Every year. Unbelievable. So this is Megillas Sarim. Okay, so fantastic. Fantastic. So, Sach HaKol, we really have three mahalchim understanding what exactly Mordechai over here is doing. To review, Malach number one, he's telling them, listen, Klal Yisrael, don't take the law into your own hands. There's a body, there's a structure. It has to come, be rubber stamped by the leaders, the Gedolei Yisrael. Second mahalach, everyone should celebrate on the other person's day. And the third mahalach is, we live the experience. Okay, Pasuk Chav Beis, now he explains, Kayamim, it should be just like, this really fits very well, Pasuk Chav Beis fits very well into what you just said from the Megillah, so I'm Kayamim, it should be similar. Like the days that the Jewish people they rested from their enemies in the time of the Megillah, and here is something very important. And like the month that was transformed from sorrow to joy, and from mourning liyom tov, lasos osam to fulfill them as days of yimei mishta v'simcha. Like we mentioned, mishta v'simcha, first comes mishta, then comes simcha, because it's you have to stimulate yourself. Simcha is the yom tov. Mishta v'simcha u'mishloach manos ish l'reyu. And now, here could be maybe another interpretation, another additional thing that Mordechai was misakin that was not part of the Yushlakana. Interpretation number four, umatonos lo evyoinim. You see, when Klal Yisrael on their own, in their previous psukim, decided to make a holiday, it does not say, go back to Pasuk Yutes. Alkein ha-Yehudim. Or Hayyudim, Hayyudim. I'm sorry, Hayyudim, Haprozim, Hayyoshim Yerosim, Osim, Esyom, Abbas Lachoshadar, Simcho Mishte, Vyom Tov, Umishloach Manos, Ish Lurayehu. Okay, so here, notice there was no Matonos Lo Evyonim. Now, if you take note, I think it's very interesting. If you look at the sequence, look at the structure, there's a build up. Pasuk Yud Ches. Go back to Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches starts with the Jews in Shushan. The Hayyudim Masher be Shushan. Nikalu b'shloish asu b'rabos of v'noach b'chamish asu v'oso also in Shushan they established it as the Yom Mishtev Simcha. It does not say anything about Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu or Matanos L'Evyonim. Okay, now let's go to the people.
The Pasuk Yud Ches.
Oh, who's in Yutes? Not Shushan, not the Shushan people. The Yehudim HaProzim, HaYoshvim B'Yarei HaProzos. They expanded the scope of the miracle to include also Mishloach Monos. And then you go to Pasuk Chav Beis, Mordechai's Takana, Vayichtov Mordechai, and his takon lekayim, it's not just enough simcha umishte, and it's not enough umishloach manos, matonos lo evyoinim. Okay? And then, so it's very interesting. So therefore, it goes to show a evolvement. It was the holiday evolved many different facets. Shushan, where the holiday happened, it was enough for them just to have simcha umishte. Simcha umishte, period.
More downfall of simcha umishte, so God came back with simcha umishte.
Yeah, but they didn't. But the people in Shushan did not feel it necessary to institute mishloach manos.
Yeah.
The people in the prozim in Pasuk Yutes are the ones who first invented, thought of the idea that we should also have Mishloach Manos. And when Mordechai reviewed all of the contributions, all of the suggestions, he added, yeah, we're going to have Simcha Mishta, and we're going to have Mishloach Manos, and there's one thing I want to add to the list, I also want there to be Umatanos Lo Evyonim. So you see a process, an evolving process, three parts, three different groups contributed to the makeup of the holiday. And what did Esther do? The Kiba, let's read the Rashi first before we go further. There is no Rashi to the Targum, Pasuk Chav Beis. Kizman Yomaya Dinachu V'Hoin Yehudoin Mibalei Diva Veyo, like the day that the Jewish people rest from their enemies, Uviyarcha, and in the month, Di Isapich L'Hoin Midavana L'Chedva, the month that was transformed from Midavana, that's Yogon, to L'Chedva, to joy. From morning to Yom Tov, to make this day Yom Mishtaya V'Chedva, a day of Mishta and joy, and then it says here to deliver Tzedakah matnon dechashichei means to the poor. Dechashichei means to the evyoinim. Okay, so this was the additional contribution of Mordechai. And before we go further, three important points. Number one is this concept called mourning. How are you? We missed you yesterday.
I missed everyone yesterday. I missed only one person. I missed everyone.
Okay. A chodesh. What is the chodesh? We have here an emphasis. If the pasuk would not have said this, I don't think we would have been bothered. We would not even take a note. It says here, "V'achodesh asher nepach lohem miyogoin l'simcha." Why is that necessary? It's enough to celebrate just the day, right? Just the day. What is this about the month? It's not just that the what it says in the previous book. Okay, maybe this will be a fifth addition to interpretation to what Mordechai added to what the Klal Yisrael suggested. Klal Yisrael only in the Shushan and in the Arei HaProzos only felt that it was necessary to celebrate the day. There was a Goyal on day 13. We had a Mulchama. We won. We rested on day 14. But the month? It's not necessary, the principle Mishenichnas Ador Mar B'Simcha. That was not on the radar screen of Klal Yisrael. It was Mordechai. Mordechai's unique contribution, not the contribution of the people in the Shushan and the Ori HaProzos, to add a degree of Simcha to the entire Chodesh. See, this is only this idea, the HaChodesh asher nepach lochem yogon l'simcha, that it's not just the day that is significant, the entire month is significant.
Yeah. It seems to almost imply that Mishloach Manos and Matanos are throughout the whole month. It's in the same pasuk. It doesn't differentiate.
It does not. Okay, you're saying very good. To make, well, it says osam. Osam is plural. So if it's 1 month, a month, you wouldn't call a month plural. You achid lasos oso, oso the chodesh oso. You wouldn't say osam osam.
It goes back on the previous passage to make a
brasa. Oh, the day. So if you say osam, referring to what? Where do you have something plural in the passage? So that's in the previous passage, like hayim the days. I'm just throwing out because it is plural. Okay, but this is something which in Echanami Mordechai has and embellished, enhanced that the chodesh, entire chodesh itself has significance. Yeah.
Could Mordechai also be establishing that in a leap year? Which Ador is
so you want to say Oysam B'Loshon Rabba means when there's a double Ador. When there's a double Ador, and Echanan, there's a lot of talk in Chasam Sefer about that year, the year of the miracle of Purim, so he learns it was a double Ador. And that's why there are different interpretations.
So, the Gaon that Haman wrote was on the Jewish Hadashim or on his version?
Seemingly the Jewish. It seems the Jewish Chadashim.
He threw the Gairo, but if it came out, he said it's equivalent to January or February or whatever.
I don't know. It seems, from all of Chazal, it seems it was Jewish.
Others, then it should have been mentioned somewhere what the Gairo would be.
Okay, the Chasam Sofer has a discussion if the year that the poor miracle occurred had a double Adar. Okay, but let's assume it was only one Adar, and let's assume, for sake of simplicity, that Haman's girl was according to the Jewish calendar. Okay, now where else do we find this idea of a chodesh? This, you know, this in fact really has halachic nafkaminis, and that is with the Dalit Somos. The Dalit Somos, the Pasuk says, Hatsoim Horavihi, Hatsoim Hachamishi, Hatsoim Hashvihi, Vehatsoim Hoasiri. These fast days will be Nepach, will turn when Mashiach comes into Sosoin Vesimcha. Where is that Pasuk? I don't know where that Pasuk is in Zechariah. I don't remember. I don't know what the pasuk. Atzaim Harvi. The Tzaim Harvi refers to Shivas Betamos. Atzaim Hatishi refers to Tishav. Hachamishi Tishav. Atzaim Hashvi refers to Tzom Gedalia. Atzaim Hasiri is Asara Beteve. So the pasuk that these fasts are going to be Nepach, are going to be transformed into days of Simcha. So according to Mefarshim, originally, when Klal Yisrael fasted to observe the breach of the wall of Yerushalayim, it was not necessarily on Shivas Betamos. You can technically pick any day of the calendar that you want. Every year, the Beis Din of the city would sit down and would make a calculation. This year, when is a good day of the week, a good day of the month to observe a day to commemorate the breach in the walls of Yerushalayim? They said, listen, the Rebbe is making a chasna. He's making a big chasna, and the chassidim are going to come for the chasna. They're going to come, let's say, they're all going to come on the 15th day to the wedding, and they're going to take them a week to get back home. So you know what? And then it's going to be Shabbos, and it's going to be Friday. So you know what?
And no snowstorm.
And there's no snowstorm, so they'll decide, you know what? This year, we're going to observe the Tzoyim HaRevi on the 22nd day of Tammuz. And next year, they look at the calendar. What's on the agenda? There's a summit, global warming. Everyone is coming, all the Rabbanim are coming together to discuss a solution to all the Rabbanim, global warming, so it's not convenient to make. So they decide when is the best day of the month. And the same thing when it comes to Tisha B'Av. The Torah, the Navi, does not demand to commemorate the Churban Beis HaMikdash that it be on a specific day. The Gezeirah was, from the time of the Nevi'im, that a day of observance be remembered during the month. Like Lahavdil, Elif Alfi Adolos, you talk about in America, so when is President's Day? When is Washington Day? It's not a set day anymore. It used to be maybe years ago. It's the first, it's the Monday, it's the Thursday, Memorial Day.
Thanksgiving.
It floats. It floats when it's convenient. It's convenient for it to fall out on. It has to be in November. Has to be in February. Has to be in January. It has to be a certain day. But it's not fixed to a specific day. This concept, this secular concept, which we're all very familiar with, I don't think it was always like this, right? Probably go back 50 years ago, it was on a very...
No, but Thanksgiving was always...
Thanksgiving was always the third.
Fourth Thursday.
Always.
The others were.
Okay, but others were not.
Others,
presidents said, but now not anymore. Now they've changed.
Still free flow.
Okay.
July 4th, whatever day...
Okay, July 4th. But there are certain holidays they've changed. But we understand some of them...
Xmas.
But we understand that it has to be, and has to be in this month, and Zehu. So this concept was what Chazal originally intended. At a later point in time in our history, it got a little bit out of hand. It got a little bit confusing. People, different communities, and due to the Tsar of Galus, we were dispersed. It was to the benefit of Klal Yisrael, they should all agree on one specific day in the calendar. And that's when we observe. So that principle, why? Because the Torah does not hold a person accountable to the details. Torah wants you just to have a day of observance during this month. And the same thing is when it comes to Purim. Purim, in one respect, it's not just limited to a specific day. The Simcha of Purim, it affects the month. The month is also is a partner in the Simcha of the miracle of Purim. Okay, so that's why I mentioned over here. Now over here, everyone knows these Mamar Chazal that it says Umeshloach Manos Ishlo Eiu Matanos Lo Avionim. The difference between the high kind of mitzvah of Meshloach Manos and Matanos Lo Avionim. When it comes to Meshloach Manos, you have to give two Manos. You have to give two Manos to one person. Two Manos to one person. When it comes to Matanos Lo Avionim, you have to only give one. You have to give to one Matana, to multiple, just the opposite. You have to give at least a gift to two poor people. Each of those two poor people must receive at least one Matana. So it's by design, it's done in the reverse way.
Does either one have priority?
Does either one...
Let's say theoretically, X amount of dollars, and you only have enough for one of the two.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer. I don't know. One thing is for sure. Everyone says that Matanas Levyonim should be more. Should be more than Mishal. You have to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. There's no excuse. You have an obligation to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. But you say we only can do one. Which one would you do if you only can do one? I don't know the answer. And maybe you have to do Meshloach Manos. That comes first. Maybe that's more in theme. That's more unique to the day. Matanas Levyonim is really a Mitzvah which applies the whole year. It's Tzedakah. Tzedakah. So it's a unique degree of giving a matana levyonim on Purim, but it's not unique only to Purim. The concept applies the entire year. But tzedakah is deraisa the entire year. What is unique to Purim? Unique to Purim is mishloach manos. This is something unique to Purim. So it could be. I'm just throwing out a suggestion. I don't know the answer, but everyone. But what?
There's an interesting reason for both Indians.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. The Megillah Storah brings down a powerful thing. The whole thing in the Mishnah was a kapara for the party.
For the party. Nen and the
Oitzuda. But that was one shot. But he says Mordechai understood that they bowed down to Avodah Zarah also.
Also.
That's a Chil Hashem. There's no kapara for them. So just do it. So he said the kapara would be Tzedakah. So he instituted that dafka for that second.
Bowing down to the Tzelem.
Not for the Guf.
Uh-huh. So he's saying that there are two different dinim correspond to the two primary chatoim which got us to this problem to begin with. Shenenu mi oisu su'uda. To mechaper on that, we give mishloach manos ish l'reyehu to eat.
Achdus. How many accuse the Jews of being spread out? Now you can bring back to Achdus. You come in.
But how does that take away from the Sudas Achashverosh?
He says here, the Tumah, the Kedusha Mishorosh B'Achdus.
It's just a matter of having a party.
Yeah.
Because it's a symbol. What's the purpose of giving Mishloach Manos? According to most of the commentaries, is that people should have what to eat by the Sudas Purim. There's a mitzvah on Purim to have a su'uda as a guarantee that every person will have something to eat at his su'uda. To enhance the su'uda, you send mishloach manos. The main purpose is you should have what to eat at that bo'bayim on that very day. And that's why mishloach manos, according to most commentators, must be food that's ready to eat. If you send someone a raw chicken, are you mekayim the mitzvah? It's not so simple to say, and people will tell you, not yoyt, it's not so simple. They have different rayas, they have sukkim throughout the Tanakh, where you find the word amoneh. The word that's chosen over here in the pasuk is mishloach manos. So simply amoneh means a portion of food that's ready to be eaten. You do not need to cook it, you don't need to bake it, it's ready for consumption. You send someone a box of rice, or you send someone a bushel of wheat, or you mekayim the mitzvah, you send someone instant coffee, instant, because very powerful, you send someone to get these boxes of all these exotic teas, herbal tea, right? You send these, are you mekayim the mitzvah? Not so, some say yes, some say not. Does that fit into the description of a mone? But the main purpose is the mone is to, in order to be able to have food for your su'udah. Why the su'udah? Because the chait, the main chait was shenenu, the gzer of Purim came about upon Kleishol, shenenu me oisa su'udah. So now by giving mishtoch monos, you'll have food to eat at the su'udah, you'll be misaking that chait. And giving matonos lo evyonim, that's going to be a tikkun, giving tzedakah to be mechaber for bowing down to the Avodah Zarah.
That's what it says, Megillas.
But from Megillas Sam, that's why you have these two different things.
Just make it even stronger, because everyone got Yain Kedas.
Yeah.
Which means that even in the Suda, they each were their own one.
Hashasiyah Chados, Einones.
So everyone had their own portion, their own whatever they liked. They didn't eat together. So, Mishloach Manos, you have to send the food.
Everyone should have what to eat. The Hashasiyah Chados, everyone was separate by the Suda, on their own couches. So the Mishloach Manos brings an Achdos, everyone should eat together. Okay, it's a Tzavsa.
What's up with Yomtov? Yomtov is a strange term.
There is no Yomtov here. What Yomtov?
No, it says here Yomtov and Pasuk Yutes.
No, we discussed that yesterday. That the Yomtov, they didn't accept the Yomtov. The very first year, they observed the Yomtov. There was an Isser Bittel Malacha. A Yomtif, you're not allowed to do Malacha on Yomtif. So that was done the very first year. But for subsequent generations, the was established was not to observe it as a Yomtif. Either we discussed yesterday for different reasons, it was too hard. Adrabah, since the whole mitzvah came about through Teva, through nature, they wanted to celebrate the Yomtif b'derech Teva, through a holiday where you're allowed to do Malacha, and to use the koyach of doing Malacha to enhance the Simcha of Purim. Okay, so this is Matanos Levion. There's also a very important thing to note, is the word Evion is not an Ani. There are different terms used for poor people. An Ani is a person who has dignity. He's poor. But Evion is a person who's Toiv Lakol. Toiv Lakol means he doesn't have the basic necessities. He's homeless. He doesn't have anything. And he's lost. He has lost all dignity. He's lost. Well, a poor person, at least he has a place to live. He just can't pay the rent. He can't pay for food. But at least he has a degree of dignity. You would not know unless he made an investigation. And Evion is basically a beggar. Someone that is tohev lakol. And that's why the meaning of Purim is kol ha-poishet yad naistim lo. You don't, anyone that asks for tzedakah is an Evion. The standards for giving tzedakah on Purim are a lot lower than the standards for giving tzedakah the entire year round, because in Purim it's dinan an Evion. And Evion encompasses anyone that claims that they're needy is a recipient of tzedakah. How much money do you give?
It's off the topic now. What are lochas of how much?
How much for the matanos levyonim? I remember here, and you have to give enough food money that they can buy a basic meal. So I remember years ago they would say at least $5. You got to give at least, you got to give matanos, the two of yonim, at least $5. And then they would say, remember those were the days when kosher delight was still around. Remember those days, the shalom kadmonios. So what's the cheapest thing you can buy in kosher delight? So they would say buy a franc. You buy a beef burger. So how much did it cost? A knish. Like if someone goes in like for lunch. So so this is a long time ago. And so how much is like the cheapest thing a person would buy? It's at least $5, right? I mean, at least, maybe even more now. Maybe $6-$7, right? A significant, a dignified, satisfying meal. I don't know, satisfying, but you know, like... What? Not anymore.
That you're giving, you're not going to.
You know what I mean? I mean, you go. The person goes. He sits down. You go to a little bagel hall. You sit down. You buy a sandwich. How much is it going to cost to have a lunch? But I don't. I'm not familiar with the prices, but it's got to be at least $5, $6, $7, right?
$5.
Let's say you buy a bagel with tuna fish, and $6, right?
So for $9.99.
And you buy a drink also. Right? You buy orange juice. So you buy, I don't know, you have something. It's going to cost $6, $7, right? You're not going to walk out of it. That's what it's going to cost. So that is what is called in halacha matanos. You have to give at least two of those donations to two different people. Now, there's a problem. There's also a problem with organizations that give tzedakah. Purim is a very big tzedakah day. In Baruch Hashem, there are millions of dollars that are distributed in tzedakah, and it's wonderful. But it's the mitzvah of matanas levyon. The money must go to people that need basic food and shelter. To give money to yeshivas, what?
Tamchei Shabbos,
Yad Eliezer, or Od Yosef Chai. They give that they mamish. They specialize in giving to people who need the food, mamish food. But giving money to organizations, to yeshivas, it's a wonderful thing. No one's you give a $1,000 donation to, I don't know, some Ars Sameach. Today they come around collecting for every organization under the sun to collect stock, but 90% of the stockers are not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of matanos le'avyonim. Okay, they are good things. Now, also the other issue is that it should be given to them bo bayom on the day of Purim. The mitzvah, the money should be distributed bo bayom. Many places can make that in Eretz Yisrael, even though you mekayim the mitzvah, even if it's not given on your bo bayom, as long as it's be given on the bo bayom of their bo bayom, which means if you're giving the money in chutz liaretz and you're observing Purim on the 14th day, and the recipient of your matanas levyonim is not getting until the 15th day, it's good enough. Yoytzei the mitzvah. But the money should indeed be given. A lot of these organizations, they lay out the money. They have experience in the previous years, and they have money coming in the entire year. So they basically know. They give out the tzedakah, and they basically will collect money until the very last moment. And basically, the money that you've given pays for their expense of that day of giving money to the aniyim. Okay, so this is what it says in this pasuk that we did over here of the targum. Let's go to the next pasuk.
So
the
tonos must be money.
Batanos nanes, it can be money. It can. It does not. It cannot. It. I think lechatchila not. I think lechatchila is supposed to give them actually food, but you give them.
And if
is that called matanos levyon? That's called mishloach manos. Salami is manos, but is that called matanos levyon? Make a meal? Is that called matana? Poisoning him. You're poisoning him. Oh, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. Okay, so how did Klal Yisrael react to Mordechai? Mordechai, he really added on a lot of things. He had, I think, only five different enhancements. Mordechai made five enhancements. He told them everyone should celebrate on the other person's day. Everyone should relive the experience. Don't just commemorate the experience. Relive the experience. Mordechai told them it's not enough just to have Mishloach Manos. There has to be also Matanos Levyonim. Okay, what else do we have? Mordechai told them that you have to also the month. It's not enough just the day. You have to also celebrate the entire month. Mordechai had a lot of different enhancements in his decree. How did the Jewish people react? Ein goyim gezer al hatzibur el roiv hatzibur yicholim lamoibo. If it's too hard to do all of these things, so then it's not going to be accepted. When Bezdin makes takana, the people have to be willing to accept it. So it says here in Pasuk of Gimel, no one can come along at any point in time in a later generation and say it's too hard. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I got to go to work. Can't go after make Pesach. I don't have money to give Mishloach Manos Pesachim. No, the Kibel HaYehudim Eis Asher Hechel Lasos. They accepted what they began to do. The Eis Asher Kosav Mordechai Alehem. So it says here both. You see the nuance of this pasuk. Both what they did on their own. They said, yes, Mordechai, thank you very much. You have new enhancements, but you should know we are ahead of the game. We already were makabel what we did, what we decided to do. They observed already day 4, day 15. And they also, the Eis Asher Kosa, Mordechai Alim, all of the enhancements, all of the additional bells and whistles that Mordechai added was also accepted. Now, you know. The kibbal, the whole klal Yisrael. I think the kibbal means the Am Yisrael as one. The collective noun. The collective noun, Aleihem. Okay, now let's see over here what it says in the Rashi. There is none. Targum, Pasuk Chav Gimel, the kibbilu, Ala Vehoin, Kul Hoin Yehudoin, Ka'chado, like one. That is his enhancement. So you see in Echnami, the entire Targum is picking up on your point. Ka'chado, not the kibbilu. Right, the whole klal Yisrael. It doesn't say the kiblu, the kibel, exactly. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. They all makabel kachado yosti shiriu lemevaru. That which they began to do, the yosti gezar kisav Mordechai beginhon. One Mordechai added to the decree. Now this is just throwing out some ideas. We mentioned over here in detail that the klal Yisrael on there, they're the ones who initiated this process. They are so also. Doesn't say v'asu v'aso, which means they instituted. It came from grassroots. It was a grassroots movement that there should be a Purim holiday. And there was limited what they wanted to do. We saw Mordechai, v'yichtav Mordechai, all of his enhancements. Now let's go back to Matan Torah. We know that before this week's parasha, before Matan Torah, the avos who makabel kol ha'Torah kula. We know there was sheva mitzvos. There's an isser of ritzicha. Any of the pasuk in Noach talks about if a person will take the life of someone else. We know there's a mitzvah of bris milah. We know there's a mitzvah of evim menachai. We know there's a mitzvah of gid hanoshe. Okay, there's a whole list of mitzvahs which were presented to Klali, to the world, to Klali Yisrael, before Matan Torah. Then comes long Matan Torah, and Moshe gives the Torah. So today, when we observe Bris Milah, when we today observe the Itzer Ritzicha, are we observing it because of Avraham Avinu, or are we observing it because of Moshe Rabbeinu? So this is well established. The Ramban, that when we are mekayim the mitzvahs b'zman hazeh, it's been given anew. Okay, we're reborn Jews. It's because of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not because of Avraham Avinu, not because of Noach. It's new. And there's even a question, there's even a discussion about the Bnei Noach. When the Goyim observed Bizman Hazeh, the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, they're called Bnei Noach. But are they observing it Midin Noach? Or are they observing it Midin Matan Torah? What?
I remember I read there was Machlekes between Yosef and his brothers.
Are they Bnei Noach? Right. That was still for Matan Torah. But this discussion goes so far. If you would ask the average person, they'll tell you, yeah, we are Mekayim the Mitzvah, the Ramban, we're Mekayim the Tayag Mitzvah, Midin Moshe. We're not Mekayim anymore Midin Avraham. Bris Milah is a new Bris Milah. It's a Bris Milah Midin Moshe. It's not a Bris Milah Midin Avraham. Okay, that's well established. But what about the Goyim? When the Goyim are Mekayim the Sheva Mitzvah Spinei Noyach, are they being Mekayim and Midin Noyach? Or are they being Mekayim and Midin Moshe Rabbeinu?
No, don't give them credit.
Moshe. So this is not so simple. Okay, actually, that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit today. I have here Rabbi Sender, the commentator of Shavuos. Not so simple. What the Mekayim from? What?
I thought the punishments though for the Shiva Bnei Noach are much more strict. They steal from.
Enochanami. Pachos v'shava pruta. And the chayif an abortion. The chayiv misa for stealing pachos mishava pruta, and we're not chayiv unless he'd steal a pruta, and there's no chayiv misa, not chayiv misa, and the guy is chayiv an abortion, a fetus, ubar lav yerachim for a guy, but for us there's no chayiv misa in a chanami. So this it's not so simple even when it comes to them, but that's a discussion when it comes to a guy when they're mekayim to mitzvah, but for sure for us for sure mekayim. So here is this is an observation. Here we mentioned over here klali shol. Here say we are initiating this grassroots movement that there should be a holiday called Purim, and on their own everyone got together, community board meeting, they decided let's have now a holiday called Purim. They said all of a sudden Mordechai hears us, he reads on Facebook what's going on, and he says, you know, it's not a bad idea. I am the Rosh HaSanhedrin, let me tweet the Klal Yisrael in 140 characters. I think there are less than 140 characters in this pasuk. Let me send out my proclamation what I want it to be. So this is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael. What?
Create an event.
I'm not so familiar with all of the nuances of Twitter and Facebook. I know there's, I don't, this level of, I'm not into. Okay, but So Mordechai, he goes and he makes enhancements. So you would expect that when Mordechai makes a takana, it follows the same pattern as Moshe Rabbeinu. That now when Klal Yisrael continue to observe Purim, we abandon our individuality. Just like Avraham Avinu's mitzvah bris mila expired. And it's a new bris mila, midin Moshe. It's a new gir hanasha midin Moshe. And they mekayim the mitzvah midin Mordechai. Isn't that what you'd expect? Isn't that the precedent? That's not what it says. It says here, what we've been done until now, we're going to continue to do because we were the ones who made this mila. We're going to do what we wanted to do. It's like we're going to continue to do bris mila midin Avraham Avinu. You want to give us another 600 mitzvahs? Okay. The 600 new mitzvahs we're going to do because of you. Isn't that what it says in the pasuk? V'kibel ha'yudim eis asher yachidu la'asos. They continue to do the basics. Simcha u'mishte. The additional thing we did from our own commitment, but what you, Mordechai, want to add, we'll also do. Okay, that requires an explanation. Why even are they allowed to do that? Or maybe Adra, maybe in this instance, this is a mila, this is an advantage, this is a chaviva samitzvah, because Klal Yisrael, you know, I have to understand that it's not an exact parallel to the example that I've given you with bris mila. We weren't around for bris mila. Okay, bris mila was given to Avraham Avinu, and then it becomes a question later on, do we do bris mila? So we're doing bris mila, we did Moshe Rabbeinu. Here you're dealing with a group of people who actually did, let me give you a mashal. Let's say, lo yitzuya, okay, theoretical case, let's say Avraham Avinu was alive, Avraham Avinu, let's say the Shiftei Ka were alive in the flesh and blood at the time of Matan Torah. Let's say they had Arich HaSyamin. Okay, a theoretical case. And now Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, giving you the Torah, Tayag Mitzvahs. Okay, one of the Tayag Mitzvahs is Gid Hanoshe. Would the Shiftei Ka, had they been alive at Matan Torah, observe the din of Gid Hanoshe, Midin Moshe Rabbeinu? Or they can say, listen, we were alive at the time when our father wrestled with the Malach. Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael etzagid hanosh asher kaf hayorech. See, it's one thing for us to come along, we weren't alive. We weren't around the time of Bris Mila. We weren't around at the time of Gid Hanoshe. So now we have to understand when we're going to do observe Bris Mila and Gid Hanoshe, is the Midin Moshe or is the Midin Avraham Avinu? But if, let's say, the B'nai, the Shiftei Kol, were alive, how would they relate to the mitzvah? Maybe they can say it's a bigger chavivus for us to observe the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe and Bris Mila because we were there. Hashem gave it directly to us. And of course, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, you went and you rubber stamp it. So if you look at it from that perspective, then the pasuk makes sense. Because since the people here were alive and well, they were alive, it was a mitzvah of Purim was established through a commitment by the people themselves at a chavivos. Now, very good, you're coming along, Mordechai, you're rubber stamping it, you're too little, too late. We already have the chavivos of the mitzvah from ourselves, and we're not going to be mekabel the mitzvah because you told us to do the mitzvah. We have respect for you, and we'll be mekabel all of the new bells and whistles, all of the new takonis that you want to wear to the mitzvah. That will be mekabel. But the ikar mitzvah is ace. Asher hechelu la'asos.
Can you do that? Can a group on its own,
well, they did it. They did it.
I'm saying, halachically, can
you do it all the time?
We want not for can you accept it and everyone accepts it and then somebody comes along, a rub says, well,
I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know. Well, you have to understand the whole idea of establishing new holidays and Klal Yisrael is novel. I mean, how can there's a Torah and you make brachos on Chanukah? The whole fact that Chanukah and Purim is established and we make a brachos. Try today, someone should come along and make a new holiday and make brachos. You'll be laughed out of this world. So that's why it's so controversial.
It's there was no problem. Everyone.
The first year is a whole different than Shulchan Aruch and Echanami. But to go establish Ludoros to make brachas, I mean, if you go look some of the things, the people who had Sidorim, they still do. Some people have a seder with four cups of wine, and you say four times the bracha Bori Pri Agafen, and they have whole Haggadah, and a lot of the things that are being done are bracha Shein Etzricha. There are things that are done which are shalika halacha. So you want to go, it's a new takana. Who are you to make a new takana? There has been a chasima from the time of the Anshe Kines HaGadola. No one can come along today and make new Yom Tov unless it's halachically, you have a mahalach in halacha. People claim to say halal with the bracha, there's a mahalach. Let's not go there. But you can't just do this on your own. So obviously we're dealing with a different time. We're dealing with a different tekufa. This is during the time when there was still Ruach HaKodesh. They're about to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. It's a different tekufa. And the fact is that Klal Yisrael ve'oso oso. Those are possibly the most important words of the Megillah. Because those words mean they established this holiday.
And this happened wasn't quite agreeable.
Not right away. Esther was one of the supporters, the advocates. And they sent back, they said no. No, you can't make new holidays until she brought a raya pasuk kesov zos yikarma sefer kesov zos. This holiday, that holiday, the whole Josh will do at some point in time. And they finally came around. They said, "Yes, we found the makar. We're going to do it. We're going to do it." But it didn't come about. It came through the people. They are so powerful words. It was established by the people. And I'm just making this observation. Mordechai obviously enhanced it very much. Mordechai added all of these additional factors to what the holiday is. And when it comes to their response, don't tell us what to do. We'll continue doing what we want to because we wanted to do it. We'll also do the Eisasher Kosa Mordechai Aleihem. We'll also accept the embellishments, but not the Ikarim. Wow, you know, that's something which is very... So that's a statement. Because we just mentioned, look at Matan Torah. Matan Torah, everything changed. But again, I told you, it's not a perfect parallel. Because in Matan Torah, no one was around. The Shiv Deka were no longer alive. The Avraham Avinu was no longer alive. So maybe it's not a perfect comparison. I'm just throwing out these ideas.
Definitely Shabbos and Morrow, right?
Oh, they accepted Shabbos, but it could be that Shabbos and Mor was already a haschol of Matan Torah. You want to go see there was a two.
They really had Shabbos in Mitzrayim also.
You're saying very powerful stuff. So you want to go say there was a double Kabbalah Shabbos? You know, maybe there's a Shomer and a Zohar, and you know, you could say a Pilpul, maybe.
Just like the others were Mekayim all the way.
Right.
They were just Mekayim it because they understood it.
But not because they were Kmim. They're saying in Mora they were Mitzuvah. They were Mitzuvah in Mora.
There was no Einish if they didn't keep Shabbos.
They were mitzvah, they were commanded when it was given to them. And then came Matan Torah, Zohar, Vashamash, Yom HaShabbos. Okay, maybe you're right, maybe there's something to it. Maybe you could add that into the equation, into the discussion. Okay, it's just a ha'ora to take note of this unique expression in the pasuk. Okay, let's go to one more pasuk. Ki Haman ben Hamdas. Now over here for...
The man was before Matan Torah.
Yeah.
So... the whole leaving up of Shamar, this and the Reformation, everything. It really that comes in after Matan.
It was before and after.
Yeah, it was before. They got
their Shabbos.
Yes.
But if they got all the halachas of Shabbos, they get what did they get of Shabbos and Mara? Did they get the halacha you're not allowed to carry? Is the muktzah? Muktzah is the rabbanim. What did they get in Mara? So what was the problem of
Monday,
going out on Shabbos and picking them up?
Because they were told not to.
Right.
They received the money.
So when Dost Avirim did it, what were they over?
Not listening to...
Are the rabbanim? What were they over? They weren't given a tzivoy. Were they given a tzivoy in Mara?
I don't know.
It?
I do not know. I don't know. Okay, yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk one more pasuk. Ki Haman ben Hamdas ha'Agagi. Haman ben Hamdas ha'Agagi. That he Agagi is the title of leaders of Amalek. Agag was the name given to the leader of Amalek. Just like Paro, and just like was given to the leader of Egypt, and just like Avimelech was given to the leader of the Pelishtim, the title Agag is giving. So therefore, he was the leader of the Amalekim of the generation. Tzarer kol ha-Yehudim. He was the bitter enemy of the Jewish people. Not just the Tsar. Tzarer kol ha-Yehudim. Choshav al ha-Yehudim le'abdom. He planned to destroy the Jewish people. V'yipil poor, and he cast the poor hu ha-Gorol. What is a poor? A poor is a Gorol. Le'humam u'le'abdom. Two different expressions to obliterate them. Now, we need to spend more time figuring out all the nuances of this pasuk. Let's just for the moment just read very quickly what it says here. Hopefully, we'll come back to this another time. Pasuk of Da'alit, Ki Amam Ben Amdasa Ben Amdasa. Choshav Luhumam Uli Abdam. Rashi over here is telling us over here that we were going forward. He planned to Humam. What's Humam really mean?
Humam really means to
confuse them.
Yeah.
I'm a Humah.
In the previous part. By Yoham, what's the rest of the passage? Yeah, it means it threw them into a state of confusion.
Confusion in a chanami. So that's an important point. That indeed is what Amalek is all about, is to take away your focus, to confuse you, not to be able to see the Yad Hashem. Okay, that is the Amalek is bigamatria and then Sufik. Sufik, is that correct? Amalek is big match. The whole essence of Amalek is not necessarily to kill you. It's to put you in a state of doubt.
No, it's not
so. Is Hashem...
No, it's,
okay, wait.
It's not?
Sam of Pei is already more than Mem.
Ayin Mem. Ayin Mem. I think it is...
Amalek.
Amalek is Sufik. So the essence of Amalek is to cast out. When they were traveling, they actually said this statement, is Hashem in our midst. When they were traveling, they did not have what to eat, did not have what to drink, they began to mislainanim, they actually said that expression, they began to doubt. Is Hashem still within our midst? Is He here? This is the essence. This was something which rubbed off from their connection, from their involvement in seeing Amalek, to cast doubts. When a person is in a state of doubt, he is in a state of a mohuma. He is confused. He does not know what to do. That's the essence of Amalek. And then when Amalek gets you down, when they get you confused, then they have a Pesach in order to bring about the destruction of Ula Abdam. This is the nature of Amalek. Let's look at what it says in the Targum Pasuk Chaf Dalit. Arum because someone bar hamdasa demin yichus ta'agag. So the Targum over here says something different than what I told you. I told you that Haman Hamdasa, he is agag, because he was the leader of the Amalekim of this generation. That's not what the Targum says. The Targum says that he is a descendant. He is a miyuchus. He comes from agag and he's wicked. He has that wickedness of agag. Demin yichus ta'agag. Meik, he is the enemy, the bitter enemy. Kol Yehudoin, chashiv al Yehudoin leova dushon, to destroy them. And notice here that tziva pasya ihu hu avdo leshigu shehon ule oyv vadehon. Now I don't know what these words mean. I don't know. No, he cast the lottery. I'm sorry. Now I know. Tziva pasya.
Pious.
He cast. Wait, one more time. Choshav al Yehudim la'abdam. The first thing was la'abdam, to destroy them. He planned. Then he cast lots. The purpose of casting the lot was to confuse them. Tzeva. He cast pasya, the lot. What is the pasya? Ihu period. Ihu avda. He did this. Lishigu shehoin. That I guess means a muhuma. Ule over the hon, and to destroy them. Okay, so he's saying over here is that his ultimate plan, Soif Maisa B'machshava T'chila, his ultimate machshava was to destroy them. But the casting of the lottery, now this obviously must play a very important role in the understanding of the Yom Tif. The purpose of casting a lottery was not to destroy them. It was a technique. It was to confuse them. It was lehumam. His ultimate goal was choshav le'abdam. But why did he cast lottery? Why did he cast the lottery? Why didn't he just go and say to Achashverosh, listen, let's go kill the Jewish people, and I'll take a day on the calendar. Not going to cast a lot. casting a lot was a technique in order to confuse Klal Yisrael. And through the confusion, that's how he would be able to destroy them. Now that idea totally shakes up our whole understanding of what the Yontif of Purim. The Yontif of Purim is called a Pur. It's called after exactly this plot. And the Pasuk is telling us that the primary purpose of the Pur was not to kill us. That's the end game. But the primary purpose, the technique, was to put us in a state of confusion. What kind of confusion? Of Safek? Is Hashem amongst us? And once we're confused, then he'll be able to come and go in for the kill. So that means that what are we really celebrating on Purim? That we're not confused. The purpose of Purim, the mahos of Purim, is clarity. That's the
victory.
Word.
The victory was by coming together for a common purpose and understanding.
But what's the Yom Tov all about? The Yom Tov is clarity. The essence of Purim is it is clear that Hashem is present. Don't make any mistake and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned us. He created this world. He set a rule that everything is this. The essence of Purim is not that we're alive. Clarity. Clarity that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam amongst us. That's what the pasuk says. I'm not making this up. Kibul Pur Chashav La'Abda. He wanted to destroy us. That's not the holiday. How did he go about trying to destroy us? Kibul Pur Hu Agarol. And what's the purpose? Luhumam. To confuse us, to put us in a state of Safek. And once we're in a state of Safek, then it's easy because then we're not any longer connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu Labdam. And we call the holiday after the Purim, the poor. And the poor is, the goal of victory is clarity. Okay. And also,
even more so because everything was done through Teva, basically.
Right, exactly. That's the whole point. That's exactly the point that we have clarity in Teva. No one should think that in Teva HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned us. There's clarity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in Teva. And also fits very well with the idea, we said this in the beginning of the list, the second time we have this thing, the poor is the Goyal. The Baal HaMegillah, Mordechai, who wrote the Megillah, or Esther, with that discussion, they had to emphasize, just in case you don't know what the poor means, and you don't have access to your cell phone, to your smartphone, to look it up, I'll tell you that the translation of poor is a Goyal. Poor is a Persian word for lottery, and girl is the Hebrew word. Why do you have to tell us the translation? There are many words here in the Megillah that are not in Hebrew. So the answer is, poor has the connotation of a negativity. It's a lottery, you're slated for destruction. Goyrol is a Hebrew word which is generally used for good things in Tanakh. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they cast Goyrolites to the Chalukah Haaretz. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they cast the Goyrol to the side, LaHashem. Which one goes LaHashem? So Haman, he was casting a poor which has like negative connotation to destroy us. But his poor was nepach for a lottery of good, something that is positive. So that provided indeed for us clarity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. All right, we'll stop over here.